I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. This is episode 225, and here we are with the glass between us, Brian.
Hello, Griff, in rainy California.
Yeah, it was sunny a little bit this morning.
It was. I saw a little bit of a rainbow, too. It was very nice.
People think we're crazy for complaining about rain, but they don't understand that this is unusual for us. 2 weeks now, 2 weeks of rain, almost 3 weeks of rain.
And I don't like to think of it as rain, actually. It's actually just liquid sunshine.
Sometimes, I don't know.
I don't know where I heard that, but I heard it decades and decades ago, and ever since, I always use it. It's liquid sunshine.
It is.
Especially in California. Hopefully it's not raining on anyone's sales on eBay either.
Well, I hope not.
Who's our guest this week, Griff?
Well, our guests this week are two well-known sellers on eBay. We met up with them back last October in Las Vegas during the Seller Remix event, and we recorded an interview with them, Allie and Ryan Roots, Rally Roots.
They're very fun, great personality, some really energetic sellers.
And well-known on social media, so they've been really good at marketing themselves. And we're going to talk about that and many other things. So we have talked about that. But first, I'm afraid to ask, what's in the news this week, Brian, or do we even have any news?
Oh, we have some news.
All right.
First up, it's that time of year, January to be specific. And you know what happens every January?
January is when USPS announces its rate changes.
Exactly. So gird your loins, Griff. Because USPS has announced new rates for 2023. Effective January 22nd, 2023, USPS peak rates will end and the new rate structure will go into effect.
Okay, loins girded. Hit us.
It's not all bad news. Even though USPS announced an average rate increase of 3.6% for priority mail, most priority mail rates for packages up to 10 pounds will not increase when you print your label on eBay.
You said most.
Yes, most. With eBay labels, there will be no rate increases for priority mail in these weights and zones. Packages up to 2 pounds for zones 1 through 6, no increase. Packages 2 to 3 pounds for zones 1 through 5, no increase. Packages 4 to 10 pounds up to zone 4, no increase. And flat rate priority mail, except APO, FPO, and DPO, no increase.
Oh, all right. So that flat rate stays the same. That's good. If you print with eBay labels.
If you print with labels and within those zones.
What about the very popular USPS first class package rate?
Well, the news there is not so good. The following USPS shipping services will see an increase. Priority Mail Express rates will increase an average of 6.6%.
Yikes.
And the ever popular first class package, well, that's going up an average 7.8%. Other increases. Priority Mail International rates will rise an average of 6%. Priority Mail Express International, that's going up to an average of 6%, as is First Class Package International Service, which will see rate hikes on average of 6.5%.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, but wait, there's more!
No!
The following USPS service updates will also be applied. Signature confirmation will increase to $3.25. Non-standard length fee for packages that are greater than 30 inches is decreasing from $15 to $7 for parcel select ground.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
But non-standard volume fee greater than 2 cubic feet is increasing from $15 to $25 for Priority Mail and Priority Mail Express.
That's a dimensional weight thing where it's right. 2 cubic feet. Yeah, boy, that's a lot.
That's a pretty good size package. And finally, a really big one. USPS is eliminating regional rate boxes for Priority Mail and Priority Mail International.
Those are really popular. And I have several stacks of those at home. I got to send them all to the recycle bin.
Hold off, Griff. USPS has announced that after January 26, remaining regional rate boxes can still be used for shipping, but they will be treated as weight and rate packages.
So, like regular priority mail. That's smart. So, I can still ship in a regional box, but I'll just pay the regular priority rate based on the weight.
That's correct. And there's one more rate announcement, also effective January 22nd, 2023. eBay standard envelope rates will increase. A 1 ounce eBay standard envelope will increase from 57 cents to 60 cents. A 2 ounce eBay standard envelope will increase from 81 cents to 84 cents. And a 3 ounce eBay standard envelope will increase from $1.05 to $1.08.
So that's a 3 cent increase across the board for all three weight classes there. Overall, I don't think that's too bad, I guess.
Not too bad, but no one likes a rate hike.
No.
Still, it helps to remember that these increases in service eliminations impact all eBay sellers.
And you can still get the best postage deals when you print your labels on eBay, so do that.
Definitely do that. You can see the details of the new USPS rates for 2023 in the announcement posted on announcements.ebay.com.
Okay. Well, that was a lot of news. Anything else?
It was. There is. As California and the West Coast continue to experience severe weather, those of you located in areas where the storm impact has been severe may be concerned about shipping delays for items already shipped or difficulties getting sold items to your carrier. We would like to remind you that if your business is impacted, eBay will automatically protect your seller performance. You can read the details in the announcement posted on announcements.ebay.com.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of news that we had, no news for several months. And then suddenly, we knew January, it's always the rate.
January, there's always a lot. The whole first quarter, it seems like there's always a lot.
Yeah. So don't ungird your loins yet. There's more stuff probably coming in the next few months. Hey, Brian, this week, as I mentioned at the top of our segment here, we are featuring an interview we had with two well-known successful eBay sellers with an expansive social media reach.
We are talking with Rally Roots.
Brian and Allie.
Welcome. Hello, this is Allie.
Hey, thanks for having us. We're excited.
And Ryan and Allie, it's no secret, have a huge audience.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's little, but thank you.
Yeah, we're definitely Mr. Beast.
Yeah, we're gaining on him, though. Watch out, Jimmy.
Wait, who's Mr. Beast? I don't know who that is.
No?
Oh wow. Well,
so you're more famous
attention.
To me in my eyes.
Hey,
I'll take it.
Oh, he is not going to be happy, whoever.
He doesn't know about us, and he never will. He's too big. So Ryan and Allie, tell us a little bit about your business. I mean, a lot of what you do certainly is on social media, but you've also been selling on eBay for a long time.
Absolutely.
And that's some of the content that you share on your social channels. Just give us the lay of the land.
We actually started flipping stuff from garage sales. That's how we started. We started our entire business with $200, and we've never gotten investors or taken out loans. We've always rolled our money back into what we do. But we started one Saturday. We were like, hey, let's go to garage sales and see if we can find some stuff to flip.
Really? It was like one day.
Yeah, we were. So I've always owned businesses. My last company was a social media management company. And it was one of those jobs where like it became a job. I hated what I was doing. You know what I mean? I was working 80 hours a week and it just wasn't fulfilling. I was putting all the money back into the business and I really wasn't seeing growth. And then Allie one day was like, hey, Ryan, we need to have a talk.
Yes.
Impossible to live with.
I was very concerned about Ryan's mental health. Yeah. And as kids, we always grew up going to garage sales and going to thrift stores for fun stuff, for toys. And we got a little older for clothes. And it just was something we always enjoyed doing. And Ryan was watching too much reality TV.
Facts.
And somebody decided that they wanted to sell items online.
So I've always had an eBay account, right? The first thing I sold on eBay was when I was 14 years old.
Yikes.
And it was back in the day when you could digital media, you could deliver it through email.
But remember under your dad's account.
So funny story, right?
Are there quotes on the side of that?
Here's the funny story about it is that, so my dad wrote an ebook and I was 14 years old and I took his ebook and I sold it on eBay without him knowing.
Oh, crafty son.
Right?
Yes.
And so my dad has always been like very supportive of entrepreneurship and making money for yourself. And so when he found out, he goes, you're making $1,000 a month selling my book. Give me half.
At the very least.
Yeah.
And so you didn't.
So we went into business together. So
that was the first business.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I grew up very poor. And we always went to garage sales. We had garage sales. So we knew about garage sales and we went out and I think the one thing that I can remember, I don't remember everything that we bought that weekend, but the one thing that I remember was we bought a Sirius radio new in the packaging for $10 and we flipped it on eBay for $60. And so coming from my last business where a typical business model, your margins are pretty slim. I looked at that and I go, I just 6x my money. How do we make this into an actual legitimate business? We had no idea that reselling even existed at that point. We resold for a year before we even made a YouTube video. We were resellers first, and then we were like, hey, let's go see if there's reselling videos on YouTube, which there were. But that's how we started. And it was really cool because it was the first business venture that Allie and I could do together. We both love it. we saw pretty quickly that we were helping other people. And that's why we got heavy into social media. Was really, it's always been our goal to help other people.
What year was this that you started that day, that Saturday that you went on a yard sale and your whole lives changed?
I believe it was 2016.
I would also say 2016.
All right, so not that long ago.
But I can't really math the best.
We'll say around there.
Around then, yes. Yeah. When did you start realizing that you were able to marry your experience with social media with your learnings as a seller and, you know, give that back to your selling community?
I actually have to shout out Chris Dunn TV.
Yes, our friend had a YouTube channel, pressured us in a very positive way to help other people with what we were doing, because you could start with very little money and make a good chunk of money. And he was into stock trading. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has money to burn like that. And reselling is a lot safer and more comfortable. And you do have significant more control over reselling versus stock trading. So
he saw like what we were doing in general in business. And he said, why are you guys not on social media? Mm-hmm. So we actually, he had an office in Austin, Texas. And we flew out there and we filmed almost like a podcast style video with Chris on his channel. And then I still remember to this day, walking downtown Austin, I got stopped and someone had just saw the video and they said, were you just on Chris Dunn's YouTube channel? And that was the moment where I was like, wow, this is a lot more powerful than I thought it could be. And then we started making videos. Yeah.
Yeah. It was actually when we started, it was Ryan Roots.
Yeah.
It was not Rally Roots, because I didn't want to be on YouTube because I thought everybody was mean and I didn't think anyone would appreciate the information we had to share, because I always was under the mindset you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink with most of people. But then Ryan started getting really nice messages and I was always
showed
in the background.
Her. I was like, look, babe.
Yeah, and people were like, you changed my life. You helped me. This month I made an extra couple $100. I can go on vacation with my family. And that's when I realized I wanted to be a part of helping other people become more financially free.
How many videos do you estimate you have on YouTube at the moment?
900.
What?
Someone seems surprised.
Whoa.
900. Almost 200,000 subscribers.
And they're all YouTube videos. They're not cross-posted from other platforms. Yeah. They are actual YouTube videos.
Have you discovered over these 900 videos that there's an average length that works? I think you can be too short or too long.
Right? Yeah. Changes, but...
That's a really good question.
Yes.
I think, you know, YouTube also does a good job at adjusting with the current marketplace. You're seeing a lot more YouTube shorts now, and they're actually going to be putting a heavy emphasis on that going forward, because TikTok has kind of changed the game with how people consume content. When we got on YouTube, they weren't doing the push for those 10-minute plus long videos. And then about halfway through our journey, they started doing that. So like if we put out a video that was 7 minutes long, it would never get as many views as a video that was 10 minutes plus, because YouTube at that 10-minute mark could put multiple ads on the video. Mm-hmm. So for us, like the sweet spot is around 15 to 20 minutes. It's a tough thing though to like get your story across the right way in a time frame like that.
And people do love the long videos. If we ever post a long video, we get tons of messages saying, I loved the long video. I watched the whole thing. I'm listening and I listen to you in the background. But we have seen consumer consumption, the time period that they want to get their information and their gratification, it basically is gone after a certain period of time.
It's how you format the content. I'm always using YouTube videos for how to, and I will find a video that's, you do too, as you know, right?
Yeah. Change a sink faucet.
Yes, exactly. And it's a great, it's the ultimate reference dictionary, but you'll find several videos and then one person has a video that's 7 minutes long and they take 6 minutes to get to the point. And then somebody else has a 2-minute video and it's right into it and you're done.
So unfortunately, YouTube has kind of forced creators to do that. So you get your satisfaction at the end of the video, because the longer someone watches a YouTube video, the more money YouTube makes, the more money the content creator makes.
Must be backfiring, because I don't listen. I shut the video off.
I agree, which I think is why those short form content videos, the ones where you get your reward in 15 seconds, people, which I mean, I think it's a good thing and a bad thing. Like I prefer making a full episode, a full story. You know, where I can't do that in 15 seconds.
But if the content is compelling, it doesn't matter if it's going to be 15 minutes.
I agree.
Good content, you come out of it and you go, what, it's 15 minutes later? That didn't feel like it.
I 100% agree.
Well, and this is why we also have an Instagram and we do Instagram stories.
True.
If somebody wants short, quick, fast information that's like instant gratification, we show you, hey, we bought this, we sold it. This is what it sold for. We made this much profit. Those types of consumers can just watch our, you know, Instagram stories and then the YouTube consumers. And there's a lot of crossover, but they want a different experience. And I think that we have tried to tailor our information that we put out on different social media platforms for different references.
100%. Like, I mean, that's the advice that we, so my team runs the eBay for Business channels on YouTube and on Facebook. And
shout out eBay for Business on Facebook, seriously, because anytime anybody has reached out to me and be like, hey, I can't get a hold of eBay, like through calling them, especially during everything that was going on.
Yeah.
I was always like, send a message to eBay for Business on Facebook.
And let's be clear, we're talking about the eBay for Business Facebook page, not the eBay for Business podcast group.
Okay.
Okay. Oh.
Distinct areas. Yeah. Right.
Just please, all questions go to the podcast group.
Thank you very much.
We wouldn't mind. We love questions.
Well, we
on
do
the podcast.
It. It's just that.
But it's absolutely true when you think about your approach to social media, and I've seen lots of sellers mention this. You have to tailor the right content to the right audience, and people are on different platforms and engage in very different ways, right?
And also, like, it's such an ever-changing environment, but the same way that eBay is, right? So the things that we were doing on eBay to make sales 8 years ago, it's not the same things we're doing now, because eBay has to change with the times too. YouTube's the same way. Facebook's the same way. Instagram's
everything.
The same way.
Yes. Remember Facebook Lives? Remember when they
I thought
like
Facebook was going to take
them? There, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the world has moved on from then. And as content creators and as sellers, you have to evolve as the platform evolves, right?
Yeah, I think the only people who use Facebook Live now are Karens. I'm going to record this. Where's your manager? Sorry, Karen.
Anyone named Karen, we apologize.
We love you, Karen.
in your own special way.
So let's talk a little bit about your eBay business, which is sort of like the understructure for so much of what you do. What do you sell? What's your category? And like, how many live listings do you have?
Yeah. I think, you know,
it's changed.
It has changed over the years. We've always told people, like, we'll sell anything we can make a profit on. To an extent.
Hold on. No. If it fits, it ships.
Right.
If we can put it in a box and ship it at a convenience to ourselves, we'll buy it and resell it.
We're not flipping houses or cars on eBay.
No.
Or heavy machinery.
We didn't want to get into
this. I would say our specialty has been, so at first it was like consumer electronics. We sold a lot of coffee machines and air fryer. We sold so many air fryers.
Because we had a wholesaler for that. They went out of state and they lived close to us, so they delivered to our building.
Wow.
It was nice.
What was the most popular air fryer?
It was a DeLonghi.
That we sold.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
right.
And it was one of the first ones on the market. And every one of my family has one.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Of course. Yeah. It fell off the back of your truck.
Yeah.
But we were selling like 50 units a day at one point of those air fryers.
That many?
Yeah.
We had so many.
Air fryers had a moment for sure. And Instapots as well.
Yeah. They still are.
I use my air fryer every day.
Yeah.
They're pretty amazing.
They are.
Yeah.
They
you can make a pie in an air fryer.
Yeah.
But I would
say. So Cooking Channel next? Is this what I'm hearing?
You don't want me to cook.
I'm the chef in the family. So our expertise has kind of changed a little bit more towards apparel, vintage t-shirts in particular, is where we like to.
Could you use the word? Now you have to define it.
Oh, vintage.
What does vintage mean to you?
I actually just made a video about this.
Yes.
Oh, good,
so,
good. Well, then we want to hear it.
We've had wine connoisseurs message us and say vintage is a particular term unique to wine.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I said, yes, you are correct. But whenever you take into consideration that you want a listing that is optimized for SEO, search engine optimization, you want to use the terms other people are putting in. And vintage is one of those terms. So we go with the term vintage because the market uses the term vintage to search.
Well, and that's valid. I'm just always curious to what different sellers think it means.
Sure.
Right.
Oh, you know, if it's not from the vintage location in France, it's actually just sparkling antique.
That's sparkling antique.
Did you just make that up? You're so clever.
I love that.
I'm jealous.
That's I want to so be funny. A sparkling antique one day.
But I would say widely accepted in the vintage reselling community, it's 20 years or more is what considered what I would consider a like t-shirt vintage.
Not greater than 20 years.
20 years
or more.
Yeah. So like it's 2022. So for a t-shirt to be considered vintage, it would be 2002.
Yes, we all feel old. Yes.
That being said, if I have a 2008 t-shirt, I'm going to put vintage in the title. It doesn't mean that that is accepted as vintage, but because, you know, it's such a highly searched keyword on eBay.
But you would say vintage style.
No, I would say vintage. No, I'm just kidding.
We're cautious about the word we put before and after vintage.
Yeah.
So we would say vintage style, vintage look, vintage graphic.
Well, I would say vintage 2000s. Is what I would say.
And that's and in my view, that's a better usage of the word.
Yeah.
Because vintage in the wine business always was paired with a year.
A year. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. So like if we sell a 90s t-shirt on eBay, our title is always going to start with vintage 90s or vintage 80s, vintage 70s.
That has the Griff stamp of approval.
Yay.
That's a hard stamp to get.
No, it isn't.
No.
Just a little grease in the palm and you get the approval.
Where's my wallet?
Yeah. That's hilarious.
So you do a lot of teaching. Yep. You know, what are some lessons that you think are the most important that you really try to drive home with your audience and that you use yourself in your own business?
Patience. You must be patient. A lot of people want instant gratification because that's the world we live in. You know, everything is at your fingertips. So we always tell people patience.
Yeah.
And self-motivation is very important as well, especially if you're reselling alone. It's very lonely, very lonely. So we tell people network, make friends. Chat with other people.
The biggest one I would say is consistency is key when not just eBay, but YouTube, life, business in general. If you're not posting daily on eBay, you should be trying to post at least something daily on eBay. No one knows the eBay algorithm, right? It's all fancy.
We don't know.
In fact, search team doesn't know why this happens.
Yeah, right.
No, they don't. They really don't know why it happens.
Right.
Yeah.
You list and suddenly things sell.
Yeah. It's funny how that works. Right?
It is.
But that's one thing that throughout the years we've seen that is...
He doesn't believe me. I can see the look of disbelief in his eyes. Oh, they're just hiding the secret and he's not going to tell. We don't know.
Somebody knows.
I feel like eBay's algorithm is an entity unto itself and it's evolved and they don't want to tell us.
There's nothing to be gained by us not telling you.
No. Yeah. Right.
True. Right. We want sales, right? Yeah. Everybody
you
wants
want
sales.
To do well.
So, yeah.
But consistency. So listing every single day, posting videos as much as you can, being active on social media. Consistency has always been a very big thing in any business. Yeah.
Well, in life. I mean, if you want to lose weight, you can't just eat healthy one time a week.
No.
That's not how that works. Wouldn't it be nice, though?
It really would.
I'm so disappointed.
I'm so sorry.
There's a common theme we've heard, and it's nice to hear it reiterated and reinforced, is that, and it's true for any business, you have to be consistent in what you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So many people look at you as experts. They come to your channel for advice. But I'm wondering, is there something that you have learned recently? Have you had an aha moment, something that you're going to take away either from this event or elsewhere that you're like, that is a great idea or a great concept?
Ooh,
someone did say something and I should have written it down because now this would pertain.
Well, this would be the tip. Always write things down when you hear them.
Aha.
Write things down that you want to remember 20 minutes later.
I mean, I would say the big one at events like this that you realize is that there is no one correct path. There's so many people who have gotten to the extreme levels of accomplishment with different methods than us. And that's awesome. That's okay. Like, you don't have to do exactly what we do. You can do what makes you happy and still get to success, right?
There is no perfect formula, but there are strong suggestions.
Yeah, that's a good
strong
way to put it.
Suggestions.
Well, I want to thank you both. It was a pleasure the last time. It was a pleasure this time. We have to do it again.
Yes. We should. Yeah. Anytime you guys want, let us know.
I will be very happy because you guys are really easy to talk to.
Sweet.
Thank you.
And you laugh at my jokes, and that's a big way to get on the show.
You got good jokes. I like a good dad joke.
It's not hard to make Allie laugh.
Dad jokes? They weren't dad jokes. I'm young. So I want to thank you both for taking time out of the event and talking to us. And enjoy the rest of the event.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
And Allie from Rally Roots, do you want to tell us about your channels on your way out?
We are Rally Roots anywhere you want to look.
And it's R-A-L-L-I, Allie being 80% of the word rally.
That's true. That's fact.
Throwing that out there.
And I'm Ryan.
And I'm Allie.
And together
we are Rally Roots.
They rehearsed that, I can tell. Well, I want to thank you very
much.
Thank
you. Thank you for having us.
You got questions?
Well, we've got answers. And our first question this week, Brian, was sent to podcast@ebay.com by a seller who sent us a question last week. It's actually, she sent this in one email, but I divided it into two questions. So, Kathy, if you were wondering last week why we didn't answer your question, the second one, It's because we're putting it in now. And also, I had to get clarification from the shipping team about all of this, and I did. Let me read you the question, and then you can talk about the answer. So Kathy wrote, I've had good success using eBay's promoted listing program and trying to factor that cost into my listing prices, and I was looking at some reports this morning. I noticed that the promoted listing fee, which is a set percentage, is charged on the sale plus sales tax, shipping, and other applicable fees. All this time, I thought it was only a percentage of my sales price. I normally offer free shipping, except on more expensive items I want to track and international orders. She goes on, when an international buyer purchases an item and they pay VAT or other fees, do I have to pay a percentage of that for the promoted listing? If so, that makes it impossible for me to know how much my promoted listing fee will be because most of my listings are available to international buyers. Since I can't control who buys them, I can't predict my cost because of the way eBay assigns the fee. I use the eBay standard label whenever I can because I like the minimal tracking. But I now realize I pay more for shipping than I thought since eBay charges me a percentage of that for my promoted listing fee. One example is a recent sale of bulk postcards that I shipped in a medium flat rate box. I charged the buyer $15, but now I realize I paid an extra $1.50 or 10%, which must have been her PL promoted listing percentage she chose, to eBay on that shipping cost. I also charged $3.99 to help cover the cost of first-class packager and pricier items. But now I know that eBay is taking 40 cents of that in promoted listing fees, I will have to increase that cost as well. Yes, I know. I should have read the fine print, so this is my fault. But please let the powers that be at eBay know that this news has led me to reconsider the cost of my promoted listings. Just doesn't seem right to charge fees on the total amount rather than the sales price, and it makes it difficult to predict the full cost of my promoted listings fees. This is the same for final value fees, so my prices are all going to be increased to cover those costs. Thanks again, Kathy Walsh. I got a little research, and I've shared it with you, and we can talk about it. Why don't you start?
Sure thing. Well, thanks, Kathy, for that question. The PL fee does apply to the total payments made by a buyer if the buyer is located in the United States. For promoted listings, the ad rate is the percentage of an item's total sales amount, including item price, shipping, taxes, and any other applicable fees, and is only charged when a buyer clicks on the promoted listing and purchases the promoted item within 30 days of that click.
That's how the promoted listing fee is determined. And for global shipping transactions, no final value fee or promoted listing is charged on the calculated international shipping if the U.S. domestic shipping on the transaction is free. That is, you offered free domestic shipping. In this case, the seller pays final value fee or promoted listing only on the item price plus sales tax. If the seller does not offer free domestic shipping, then final value fee or promoted listing fee is charged on the item price plus sales tax plus the cost of shipping from the seller, and if it's a GSP, to the nearest GSP facility. And again, for GSP transactions, promoted listings are not charged on the entire cost of international shipping, the international shipping amount that is paid by the buyer. I asked the team to provide some examples. Brian, why don't you read the first example they sent us?
Sure thing. So this is example number one. A promoted listing has free shipping within the U.S. A U.K. buyer purchases the shipping via the Global Shipping Program and pays $20 to ship the item from the U.S. to the U.K. The eBay seller gets charged $7 to ship the item to the nearest Global Shipping Program facility. The seller is charged an ad rate percentage on the item price plus tax plus any applicable fees only.
Right. And if the promoted listing has U.S. shipping that is other than free, then the promoted listing fee is assessed on the item price plus sales tax plus the shipping amount that the seller pays to ship the item to the GSP facility. And this is an amount typically equal to first class or priority mail service within the U.S. or if you're shipping USPS, could be USPS Ground, for example, would be that cost.
Yes.
Now, example two. A promoted listing has a $7 flat rate shipping within the U.S. and a U.K. buyer purchases the item with shipping via the Global Shipping Program and pays $20 to ship the item from the U.S. to the U.K., the eBay seller gets charged $7 to ship the item to the nearest GSP facility, and the seller is charged an ad rate percentage on the item price plus tax plus the $7 shipping cost to the nearest GSP facility and any other applicable fee. But what I'm getting from this is that the seller in that GSP cost that they're not paying a PL rate percentage on, that would include any custom duties and VAT.
Yes.
So they're not getting charged, or Kathy's not getting charged on those sales if she's using the Global Shipping Program.
Right.
I just want to clear that up. So, Kathy, I hope that explains it to you. This isn't going to change, and no. I think we'd be doing you a disservice if we led you to believe otherwise. Remember that the promoted listings feature is seller optional. It's not a requirement. My recommendation is to, what I talk about for any expenses of selling, is to look at the previous year's reports, find out what you spent on promoted listings based on those rates. That's going to give you an idea of what it's going to cost for the coming year. It might not work transaction to transaction. Yeah, you're right. You're never going to know exactly what that PL rate's going to end up costing you based on things that are out of your control, like the cost of shipping. If you're not using free shipping within the U.S. That's why free shipping, there's an advantage there because you can control that cost. You know what the shipping is. You add it into the item, and then you're not paying PL on the shipping. You're just paying a PL on the total cost. Yeah, you're still end up paying the same amount, but you know what that's going to be, right? So that's a way of controlling that cost.
And especially for those shipping in the U.S. only or leveraging something like Global Shipping Program where you're going to ship it to the exactly. U.S. only, the free shipping, if it's possible, I get there's edge cases like auctions and things where it might not apply, but for most listings, I agree with you. Leverage free shipping.
I got to be honest with you. I don't offer free shipping on anything anymore. Most everything I ship is UPS now. Anything that's under a pound, I'll ship by USPS first class. I go back and I can look at last year's reports. I can see how much I've spent in shipping. And that gives me an idea what's going to cost this year if my volume stays the same. There is no way to get exact numbers. Every business knows that. But you can get a really good range or an estimate of what you're going to spend in total. And again, we say, I've said this before, maybe not recently. It's the aggregate numbers that count. If right. you start worrying transaction to transaction, you will drive yourself insane and you'll end up in a straitjacket and you'll yeah. lose your mind. And
so. And then the nice thing is if you've got all of 2022 data and you have that average, USPS makes it nice and easy because they come out with their rate increase in the middle of January. So you can adjust your model.
You had to bring that up again, didn't you? All right. Well, Kathy, we hope that helps, if not answer the question so much as it, assuage your fears or concerns.
I will say one thing, Kathy, I think one other element to that is, I hope we have some new listeners out there who pay attention to this because Kathy didn't realize that it was applied to everything. And we do apply our fees to everything.
Except in the cases we just talked about.
Right. Exactly.
Final value fee is charged on the payment.
So yes.
Our next question was emailed to podcast@ebay.com by seller David. And David says, hello. First off, I want to thank you for what you do on the eBay podcast. It really helps us sellers out. I'm a longtime listener and I love your show. Thanks again for everything you guys put out. The other day, I was listening to episode 221 when you talked about Google Shopping and using eBay's catalog to list an item to show up on Google Shopping. I think I remember we talked about that if the item has a product catalog entry in eBay's product catalog, you should use it. Otherwise, it can be left out of Google Shopping. So David's question is, when I go on to eBay's catalog and input what I'm trying to sell, a few options pop up. One is to continue without a match, and the other is related listings from other sellers. The continue without a match option has what I inputted, and I just continue without the match, easy enough. The other option is related listings from other sellers that has a current listing up on eBay. So if I choose to continue without a match, or if I pick the one listing that is related to mine, which one of those two is the correct one from the eBay catalog that would be used in Google Shopping? I'm just not sure which one to pick. It's kind of confusing. Thanks for everything, David.
Good question.
It's really easy. If the item has an eBay product catalog entry that absolutely matches the item that you're attempting to list, you should use it. If the item doesn't have a matching eBay product catalog entry, don't adopt one. Don't use it. That's not the right thing to do. This is important. If the item doesn't have a matching eBay product catalog entry, it will still show up in Google Shopping. It's only those items that do have matching catalog entries that risk elimination from Google Shopping.
And David also mentioned the similar items option.
Yeah.
Similar items from other sellers is not the same as an entry in the eBay product catalog.
Exactly.
Those are the listings that are displayed sometimes when you enter a few keywords for the title, and then eBay suggests similar items.
Yeah, those are not eBay product catalog listings. Those are just other eBay listings. The top line consideration is listing your item properly. Use a product catalog entry if and only if it matches your item completely. If there isn't one, don't worry about it. Just either make up your own listing or use another similar item example to help fill in some of the listing information. And that's why we present those. if there's not a matching product catalog, those similar listings, they can help you fill in parts of a listing that, well, maybe there's matching, for example, item specific. So it can help you with the listing, but it's not a catalog entry. And you don't have to worry about whether or not it'll show up in Google Shopping. All other things considered, right? So you have all of the parts of the listing in compliance.
Our third and final question this week was emailed to podcast@ebay.com by seller Lando. Hi, guys. Lando here again. I believe you guys have discussed this topic in the past, but thought I'd pick your collective brains with the current situation possible solution.
Get your picks out.
Buyer messaged me in regards to a pair of loafers they were interested in purchasing, but asked if I could hold off shipping them until January 15th since they would be out of town and wanted to be home to receive the package. After explaining my two-day handling time and possible defect on my account for not abiding by the handling time specified, I offered this as a possible workaround. I told them to send me an offer of $25. They were listed at $29.99. I would then accept the offer, but I suggested to the buyer not to complete checkout until they are sure they will be home to receive the package. Will the buyer be negatively affected for not paying on time, or would it only affect them if I were to cancel the item for item not paid? Thanks again for the knowledge you all consistently drop. Lando, 5 teals and deals. P.S. No mug needed if applicable. Thanks.
Well, Lando, you're suggesting for obliging the buyer's request to delay shipping is not ideal, but it could work, but only for like short hold durations, like maybe a couple days or something, because when they make the offer, you know, they accept the offer, right? And then if they don't pay, the unpaid buyer process starts. So the buyer could receive an unpaid item notice if it's 2 weeks later, but one unpaid item notice won't impact the buyer's status on eBay. If the buyer agrees to it, I would alert them that they're going to get this notice, but it's not ideal. It really isn't.
I agree. And it only works if the buyer hasn't yet paid for the item. If they've already paid, then the shipping clock is ticking and it can't be turned off or paused.
Right. And in this case, the buyer hasn't paid yet. So they're asking, they're a nice buyer. They've asked this as a consideration beforehand. So Lando, we talked to the teams responsible for managing this particular topic and feature, and the news is there is no current good solution. That said, you have three possible options. We're going to talk about them. The first one is to respond to the buyer and let them know you can't hold off on shipping. And there's no need to discuss the possible consequences that you would experience with the buyer. Just say you can't, and then ship the package anyway. Maybe ask them to contact a neighbor or to take the package when it arrives or hold the package until the buyer returns. Or, Brian?
Hold off shipping the package until the buyer returns, which will result in a hit to your on-time shipping metric. If this is a one-off request, it won't impact your seller performance status. It's the one I would opt for if it were me as the seller. Or Griff?
You can just cancel the sale. And I know sellers who do this. You would say, hey, I'm going to cancel the sale. If they've made the sale, if in this case, the buyer hasn't made the sale, they would just say, I can't do this. But here's some things to tell your buyer. For USPS shipments, the buyer can ask their local PO to hold their packages for up to 30 days. The buyer can then collect the package from the local USPS office when they return. The service is called USPS Hold Mail, and we'll put a link to their webpage on the USPS site in the summary overview for episode 225. Or you can search Google USPS Hold Mail and it'll turn up. One thing to note, the buyer will have to create a USPS account on the USPS website if they don't currently have an account. But they can do this from any location if they have internet access, and it's really easy and it's free.
That's a really good solution, Griff. And if you ship via UPS, they have a similar service called Change Delivery Options.
Yeah, they do. But like for USPS, the buyer would have to create a UPS account in order to use the service.
And that's easy to do and can be done from any location that has internet access. And FedEx has a vacation hold service too. It's called FedEx Delivery Manager, and you can use it to place a temporary hold on your packages. FedEx will hang on to your FedEx Express and FedEx Ground packages for up to 14 days. Plus, it's also free.
Yeah, and we'll put a link to these carrier pages in the summary overview for episode 225. So this is information that any seller faced with this can share with their buyer and say, hey, in this case, Lando could have said, well, you know, it's a USPS shipment. If you set up to have your mail held for up to 30 days, you can, when you get back, just go to the post office and pick it up. Go ahead and purchase them and I'll ship them out and make sure the address is the address that you would use for USPS, and the package will be there. You can do that for UPS. And FedEx is the only difference is that it's 14 days. And I don't remember what UPS is, but you can find out more information on their pages.
So that's some good info. Well, keep in mind, Lando, that these are options that require the buyer's cooperation. If your buyer is unwilling or unable to use any of these three carrier hold services, then you can either hold off shipping or cancel the sale.
If the buyer isn't willing or able to set up a delivery hold option, you can, if you choose to do so, inform the buyer you're going to have to cancel the sale, but that you're willing to hold on to the item until the buyer returns, at which point you will relist it when they let you know they're back and give them the item number so they can purchase it then. Not ideal because the buyer could forget, but it's giving them another option as opposed to taking the risk of a hit to your on-time shipping metric. I'll take the risk if my on-time shipping metric has no other hits because, you know, it's you get an allowance, right?
Right.
But I can't assume that for all sellers. There may be a seller who's right on the edge and doesn't want to lose their top-rated selling status, so they're not willing to take that hit, and that's up to a seller.
Business decision.
Yeah.
And if you do decide to cancel the transaction, use the reason problem with the buyer's shipping address as the reason.
Yeah, because there's only three reasons, and one of the, you know, there's no reason that says buyer asked me to hold. So
right.
Just use the buyer's shipping address.
That makes
sense. Now, Lando, we're going to admit it again because I just have to be honest here. None of these are ideal solutions, but consider what retail company provides a delay shipping option for buyers. I can't think of anything or any one of them. It is definitely not a standard industry practice, and it's unrealistic for any buyer to assume that an eBay seller will honor a request to delay shipping, especially after the buyer has purchased an item. But like we said, at least your buyer was kind enough to ask these questions before they actually made the purchase.
Pretty considerate buyer.
Yeah, I'm with Brian because my on-time shipping metric is pretty cool. I don't get many of these requests. I can't remember the last time I had it. If I got this request, I'd say, yeah, okay, I'll wait 2 weeks.
Right.
Well, Brian, that's all the questions for this week.
That's it?
That's enough. We have more in the queue.
Those were some good questions. It's a good start to the year with questions. I hope they keep coming.
Yeah, please do keep them coming.
And if you have a question about selling on eBay, why not call us on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. Call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's time for your 3-point podcast reminders.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
If you have specific restrictions regarding things like shipping to PO boxes, for example, if you ship using UPS like I do, or that you don't combine shipments, or you won't delay shipping a purchase, put them in your description.
Oh, good idea, Griff. Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And on our next episode, we're going to meet with another seller. It'll be a surprise. And we'll answer more of your questions. Yes, we have quite a few still to go, but keep them coming. We love your questions.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week, Allie and Ryan of Rally Roots.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.